Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Those who don't let the Word of God in their hearts to do the work of God, it seems that the Lord isn't committed to, and He knows the difference in those who are and those who are not. This text reminds us that we can't fool God. He knows everything, and He commits Himself based upon what He knows. Now, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus being the one who commits. When Jesus commits, He's committed.
The Lord knows everything, and you can't fool Him. Pastor Troy shares how the Lord will commit to those who are fully committed to Him in His message today. You can't fake your way with the Lord, and He knows what is truly in your heart. Jesus, on the other hand, committed to you before you were ever committed to Him. By way of death on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for all your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus offers eternal life even though you're not deserving. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 2 as he continues his message, When Jesus Didn't Commit.
So hard, in fact, his disciples, as the crowds diminish, they say, Jesus, these are some hard things. I don't know if anyone's going to be able to handle this kind of stuff. And you know what Jesus said? Let me tell you what He didn't say. He didn't go, oh man, my bad, I know, I'm love. I should know better, man. I'm hurting people. No, He did not say that. You know what He said to the disciples when they approached Him and asked? He said, do you want to go away too? Because not only is He love, but He's truth. And it is unloving to say something that's a lie or to soften it so that someone, it comfortably flows down the stream of life and goes to hell. That's not loving. And so Jesus, he wasn't antagonizing and just kind of in their face, but He was uncompromising, unapologetic in what was true. And so when they approach, He says, do you want to leave too? And guess what the realization they had? It had to do with truth. And they said, where else will we go? You alone have the truth. You alone have the words of eternal life. Truth was more important to them than how they felt. And I guarantee you that some of those disciples, they probably felt like, man, this is hard, man. We're never going to grow. We're building a kingdom here, aren't we? I want the right-hand side here. The crowds, they were there for the free lunches. They were there to applaud the miracles and maybe even get a miracle for themselves. They were there for those. They were there for the events. They were there for the socials and the social gatherings. But when the truth pierced their hearts, they left. They weren't there for that. There was no room for conviction. You might say they were complacent. When something dared enter their life that forced a lifestyle change, forget it. I don't interpret it that way. I don't see that. I don't need this. I didn't come for this. And that's exactly what happened. They weren't here for that. But Scripture teaches us that it's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And there's a truth that has to be dealt with. They didn't follow Him with that kind of faith. They followed Jesus for the wrong reasons. But there is no hope when we follow for our own selfish reasons. We have to believe in Jesus for who He is, who the Bible says He is. When we study the Scriptures, we need to study the Scriptures, yes, for the promises for us, but what good are promises to us if He's not who He says He is? If He can't fulfill those promises, if He can't make those or doesn't have the authority to make them, if what He says is going to happen isn't going to happen, it doesn't matter. They didn't follow Him with that kind of faith. And Jesus knew it. That's the point here. Not that we have perfect, undefiled faith, that we never wane at all. But Jesus knew they didn't follow him with any of that kind of faith. Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Actually, the word men is not in the original. It's in fact, it's probably italicized in your Bibles. It literally says, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all, meaning he knew everything, everyone, and everything in each one of them. Verse 25, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So those were the undercommitted crowds. Let's talk about the uncommitted Christ. These verses show us what Jesus thinks of casual Christianity. Jesus describes this kind of faith in his parable of the soils. I think we could equate it to the stony ground that he talked about. Jesus explained the parable to his disciples, and he interprets the stony ground this way in Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. But he who received the seed on stony ground or stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And that could sometimes be a long while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. It's because of the word they turn away. The word pushes too far. The word, it's too much. The word causes too much conflict. The word says something they don't agree with, and they go, that's enough. I'm not in. If this is what the truth, if this is what the Bible's all about, I'm just not going to keep listening. I'm not going to keep taking it in. And so they show over time that while the miracles were taking place, while church was just a social gathering, while these things were part of the experience, they were in. But when truth pierced the heart, they wouldn't listen. Those who don't let the word of God in their hearts to do the work of God, it seems that the Lord isn't committed to, and he knows the difference in those who are and those who are not. This text reminds us that we can't fool God. He knows everything, and he commits himself based upon what he knows. Now, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus being the one who commits. When Jesus commits, he's committed. He says he never loses anyone. He's committed. And that's what's so important about the cross. It shows us how committed he is, that when we put our trust in him, when we put our faith in him, when we believe in him for who he is, he's already paid the price. Every stumbling that we have done, every stumbling that we would ever do is covered. It's paid for. We're forgiven. And we inherit eternal life, though we don't deserve it. But God knows the difference. Hebrews 4:13 says this, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We're a private people, aren't we? Private world. We like our own space. We like our privacy. We have some things that are in public. We'll have Facebooks or whatever it is, and that's the image we want to present, and we act a certain way around other people. But most people like a private space, somewhere they can do what they enjoy, what they like. No one can tell them right or wrong. No one can speak about it or anything. It's my spot, my place. Don't watch what I want, be what I want, do what I want, do all this. Just leave me alone in this area. We are that kind of a world, culture, people. But you know, with the Lord, there is no place like that. There is no such place. He sees everything. He sees every area. And it's interesting because some will pray and praise and they'll say, I want to give you everything. And they think in general terms, but there's some things in our minds we really think, but not that. Don't start there, Lord. Start somewhere else. Start somewhere else. I know there's probably an issue with that. Probably. I don't know for sure, but maybe. But there's so many other things you can work on. So why don't you start there? But it's because we recognize that one little spot And it's so near and dear to our hearts that the Lord always seems to start there. Because he knows the key to change is dealing with that. That's exactly what happened with Abraham, you know. What became so dear to his heart? His son. Everything became about him. Everything revolved around him. The son, this is the son of promise. And maybe even rationalized it. Well, it's the one God gave us. I got to tend to this. This is God's blessing. And he was so focused on the object, the gift, the blessing, that he stopped focusing on the Lord, trusting and putting his eyes on him. God said, I'm going to deal with something in your heart. And I'm going to put my finger on it, and you're not going to like it. But what demonstrated Abraham's faith wasn't that he was in a period of distraction. That happens. But when he was challenged by God, he didn't go, well, I don't see it that way. I think you need to do it this way. Because Abraham had already tried it the other way. He tried it and ended up with a son, Ishmael, for sure. And he found out, oh, that wasn't God. God wasn't blessing that one. So he learned that I've got to do it God's way. I've got to trust God. Now, I don't know how he's going to do this. It says he knew that even if God raised him from the dead, he's going to trust God with this. That's the kind of faith that begins to stir in the heart of somebody who really believes. It's not something we muster up on ourselves. It's something God places in there. We're able to take steps trusting God. You look back. Sometimes we look back and it's like, did God like blind me for a time? I would have never done that. How did I do that? And you trust the Lord and you look back and you go, wow, how did I get here, Lord? Because God, with his people, those who are his, those who will entrust their life to him, he does a work he's promised to do, he's faithful to do in them, so that there's always a constant progress. We're going to talk about this idea a little more when we talk about being born again next week. But there's a work that's going on. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. To begin that work on the inside, because honestly, anyone can do good works. Anyone can do nice things, kind things, compassionate things, and you don't even need God for that. There are all sorts of unsaved people going out there doing good things, good works, busy about things. It touches their heart. It fills something in them to do something nice for others, and so they do those things.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So we can be busy. I could lay a guilt trip on everyone, say, you need to serve the Lord and you need to serve the Lord here. And serve. And so there you are feeling guilty and condemned. I don't serve. So then you sacrifice your family and everything else to come here and serve. And you're here. And the leaders and myself would go, wow, man, they're holy. They're awesome. Look at these guys, servants of the Lord. But we don't see your family falling apart. Other things are getting neglected because you've prioritized this because it's been beaten into you. So we can do things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that on the inside transformation has taken place. Because when transformation takes place in a life, it's not just at church, it's at home, it's at work, it's on the road, it's in the grocery, it's everywhere. It's not compartmentalized. And that work happens in the life of somebody who belongs to Christ. He promised that he'd be faithful to complete a work that he began. Here's a simple application as we get ready to close. Very simple application here. Be real with the Lord. When you pray, when you cry out, when you talk to him, when you desire to really hear, go ahead and tell him, Lord, I don't want you to change this. I don't know why. there's something in me, and if there's something there, show me. But I don't want you to change this. I'm just going to be honest. Be honest, because I think God deals well with honesty. And I think he's very compassionate, merciful with honesty. He's still stronger. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. But I think God deals well with honesty. So be real with the Lord, because pretending to be something that you're not is a waste of time. Time and energy and investment. At some point, the mask always comes off. So don't put it on. Don't put it on. It takes too long for it to fall off, and then we've got wasted years. Be real. You have needs. You have struggles. You're worried about certain things. You have certain fears. You know God says to do something. You don't want to do it. Be real and take it before the Lord, and God will do a work. Let me close with a few principles. One, since he knows everything, it means he already knows the worst about you. That's good news. That means that it takes the pressure off. You don't have to worry, like in certain relationships, showing up going, oh, I hope they don't find this out. I want to let them get to know me first before I reveal this past stuff on them. So we have to do that, it seems, with people. But with God, you don't do that. You bring it all. He's the one you can come with everything and go, just dump it on him. Cast your cares upon him, it says, because he cares for you. So since he knows everything, it means he already knows the worst about you. You have nothing to hide. You can approach freely. Number two, because he knows everything, he knows the best about you. That's good. He knows things that maybe you or other people don't know about you. Things you can do, you don't think you can do. Things with him and his Holy Spirit that you can accomplish and do and be that you never imagined. I don't imagine these fishermen that followed Jesus, imagine changing the world, the known world at the time. And yet he used, it says, uneducated, untrained men. That doesn't mean they were doofuses. You know, like the Pharisees noticed they were doofuses. No, they noticed that they were not skilled in the scriptures. And yet they speak so powerfully of the things of God. Like, wow, I noticed these guys don't have seminary training, and yet, wow. And they said, here's what they noticed. They had been with Jesus. That's what made the difference. So because he knows everything, he knows the best about you. And that kind of leads us into three. He knows the potential you have. Because he knows everything, he knows what plans he has for your life. He has plans for your life. You have gifts, experiences, things that he's placed in you that are supposed to be used for his glory. And you find satisfaction in exercising these things for his glory. Your life has purpose, something that validates you. And only you can really do it the way God wants you to do it. Someone else can't fill in and be you. Now, God can still get everything done he wants to without you. But the one thing he won't do or can't do is you. Make you. It's your will against his. The only thing that stops you or me from having and doing all that God wants us to do, not inability, but unwillingness. Sin. Sin that gets our eyes on other things rather than on the things of the Lord. When you put your faith in Jesus, it doesn't mean you're ready to live the perfect life. It means you're ready to trust your life into the hands of the one who is perfect. Say, I am in your hands, Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, the one who he commits himself to, he stays committed to. There are going to be things that begin to change, and it's awesome. It hurts at the time, in the beginning mostly. I think the illustration I've used best is magnets. I've got some really powerful magnets. You don't put those near computers or iPhones, by the way. But some really strong magnets, and it's hard to pull those things apart. And when you've got them apart and you got them about right here, kind of closer, there's still this strong attraction. But the further apart you get, the weaker the pull is. And it's like we've all got this attraction to the things of the world, things we've entrenched ourselves in, things we find value in, things that have made us feel important. It starts when we're a kid. You know, someone says, wow, you play really great. All of a sudden, whoa, I want to play sports again. Whoa, I found my validation. My dad loves me more when I'm in sports. And then we find some sense of validation, but we all make certain choices, do certain things because we want to be loved. And we end up here, a mess. And we have a trail of destruction and hurts and disappointments. We've been disappointed. We've disappointed others. We've overemphasized the wrong things. We've seen things we don't like, so we run the opposite direction only to get into just as much trouble. But then we come to Christ, and He tells us, I love you. No, not because you play sports. No, not because of this, not because of that, not because of something you can do for me. I love you because I love you. And I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And I want to bless your life. I want you to have life and life abundantly. But it does come at a cost. The great cost you could never pay, and that is that sin, the cost of that is death, eternal separation. But that's been paid. But there is another cost, and that is this. If you don't pick up your cross and follow after me, you're not going to get to enjoy a lot of what I have for you. Philippians 1:6, again, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, he does begin a work that he will continue and complete. And that work can go as fast or slow and can be as painful or smooth as we let it be. Someone once said, we're all as close or far from the Lord as we choose to be. If he says, I'm going to do this and I want to do this with you and I'm going to change this character trait in you, then you can bet he's not going to change his mind. He's going to work on that. And so it's best to give in, to let him have his way. Maybe today the Lord's speaking to your heart about letting him have his way in you. Maybe for the first time ever. Maybe you've never followed the Lord. You've never said, Lord, I want you to be the ruler of my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I know I can't do it perfectly, but I want to follow you. Help me. I believe that's his desire. And he knows if you genuinely have that desire in your heart. And if you do, and he's talking to you, this is the day to respond. Let him do the work. Don't make 10 more years of mistakes. And for others, maybe it's not the first time. Maybe you run around, you're a Christian, you claim, you saw God do a lot of things in your past, but they're way back there in the past. You want to see God do things now because he's willing. You know there are things in your own heart that he wants to deal with, and today he's calling you to himself to recommit. He's committed. He never fails. He never slacks. But you know, sometimes marriages or couples will do a rededication of the vows. It's not necessary. It doesn't change. It doesn't re-up the commitment. But what it does is it brings them together to that foundation. Here's what we said. Here's what we promised. We kind of have strayed a little bit, but we want to realign ourselves with what this is all about, what we said in the beginning. And so for a Christian, there are times in our life, not every week, but there are times in our life where a sense of reestablishing that framework is important. And publicly doing it doesn't change anything except this. Jesus said, whoever's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of. And if you're not ashamed, you're not worried about what everyone else thinks, but your desire is to walk forward. Why would we not do it publicly when he died publicly for us? Why would we not go ahead and start raising the level of accountability by doing it publicly?
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.